there's a five-fold ministry in the church. That's the New Testament model. It's apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And we need all five of them. You need the prophetic. You need the apostolic. You need the authority. You need the pastor to shepherd the people. You need a teacher to teach them the word of God. You need an evangelist. I don't know about you, I need that once in a while. The Bible says that he who spares the rod spoils his child. Actually, it says he who spares the rod hates his child. I want you to know my dad loved me. Big time. Well, we're getting into our August series. We got a new series here in August, and it's August. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's get right into the Word of God this morning. And as we get into the Word of God, you know, the Word of God gets into you as you get into the Word of God. When you read it, it reads you. You realize after a while there's a person. There's a fellowship here. There's a life here. So let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Amen. So we have this new series, Discerning the Times We're In. How many of you know we got a hefty bunch of complainers and gripers and protesters and rioters and all kinds of things going on here? And if you look at, if you just step back and look at it all in the big picture of things, it's all about the one person who's behind all of that. And it's not God who's behind all of that. So we need to recognize where all this is coming from and deal with it seriously. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look at some things here just to start off. Verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers. How about that? A lot of that going around. Without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, heady, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Let's go over this slowly. For men shall be lovers of themselves. This is total self-absorption. This is being just overwhelmed with yourself. Now, who does that represent? Slewfoot. He is totally self-absorbed. Lovers of money. The Bible talks about the deception or the deceitfulness of riches. Thinking that riches will somehow fulfill you, that riches will make you happy, and all you can buy with riches. But you know, somewhere in your heart, there is an eternity in your heart. God placed eternity in your heart, and there is no natural amount of money, things, or possessions that can ever fill it. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's a carrot before the horse. And money is the most elusive God you'll ever follow. Boasters and proud. We need a revelation on pride, boasting, pride. We really need a revelation. It is really very subtle, and it's in everything. Pride. It's in every news story you hear. It's in everything you hear. It's the way things are written and presented. It's all based out of a pride. And they'll say, you deserve this benefit. Get what you deserve. I don't want what I deserve. If I got what I deserved, I wouldn't be standing here. And you wouldn't be sitting there if you got what you deserved. Mercy is not deserved. That's why it's called mercy. It comes from one who's big enough to give it. Pride. Blasphemers. They don't have to. They're disobedient to parents. You know, disobedience is a big thing to God. You know, there was a, it really touched my heart. Wednesday the 22nd, we were here for Bible study. And Sherry was going to show a movie. And Sherry's our children's director. If she is showing a movie, we know it's good. She knows our hearts, she knows everything. And we don't even have to think about it. And then the one little girl that we had in that little room said, I can't watch that. She said, why? Well, because my mother hasn't seen that movie and it hasn't been approved yet. And if that wasn't enough, they were having, what was it, a cookie? They were going to have a cookie. She said, no, I'm allowed to have one sweet, and I've already had a sweet tonight. That is more than just obedience. That's submission. There's a difference. And Leah, that's Leah and Phil's daughter, their youngest. Leah's running a class tonight, right here, on homeschooling. Her oldest child graduated first in his class at Harvest. She's got a ground, she's got a record to prove what she's saying is right and good, and Leah's going to so be there tonight, if you can, if you know, if that's something that you're interested in. But obedience is a big thing to God. Jesus said, he who is obedient in that which is least shall be made ruler over much. It speaks volumes in heaven. Every time you're quick to hear the voice of God and do it, quick to do it, God, he says, that's my child. That's mine. All of a sudden, heaven comes open as you're obedient, as you obey God and submit it to the truth. Unthankful and unholy. You know, a couple of years back, I just noticed that kids just weren't thankful anymore, for the most part. Have you ever noticed that? You see these sitcoms on TV or whatever, and kids are just absolutely abusive in their attitudes towards their parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Unloving. Unforgiving. Slanders without self-control. Slanders, that's accuser of the brethren. Who's that? He's a slander. He likes to slander God's people. Without self-control. Brutal. Brutal. We're seeing brutality all over the news. Despisers of good. Traitors. Heady. Headstrong. Haughty. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And if that's not bad enough, look who he puts in the mix with all that bunch. Those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, from such turn away.
Yeah.
This to God is just as bad as the lovers of self. And I'll tell you something. There are Christians who have been born again. Everything's blood washed. And they're stuck in doctrines that have polluted their faith, crippled their faith, destroyed their hope of changing. Thinking the things have passed away that have not passed away.
Right.
It's the same Holy Spirit I got that they had in the book of Acts. In fact, there's only one Holy Spirit. And he changes not. Praise God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. We're going to talk about that today because the subtitle of our message is The Manifestation of the Sons of God. You know, there's a lot of people who have a lot of problems right now. Many people are going through all kinds of trouble and hardship. But we have answers and we have direction from the unfailing word of God. And there's always an exodus. There's always a way out of every problem that this world throws your way. We don't have to be tense. What happens if the Democrats win? Your faith is not in a man.
Right.
Your faith is not in Donald Trump.
That's right.
Your faith is not in governments. Your faith is not your faith is in the Father who works all things together for my good.
Amen.
And if you meditate on that, you will do good.
Amen.
And you'll receive his best. No, make it a sign for it, all right? So far.
Okay.
We may.
We like it.
We have direction. God's word is unfair. You know, Jesus said this: the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That means his words are spirit. When you stand on his word, you're standing on something that there is no natural force that can overpower it, that can overcome it. Truth vindicates everything and everybody. When you come up to somebody who is slandering somebody and you just give them a little truth, the Bible says, you know, we shouldn't judge. Otherwise, we'll be judged. What's the normal response you get? Oh, I'm not judging. I'm just, you're judging. And it is everywhere, judging. And it's easy for us to sit back and judge the people who are don't know the right hand from their left. This is Nineveh all over again. And we've been called to undo the works of the devil and not to sit there and agree with the self-righteous people who want to condemn them. Jesus died for them. Jesus paid for them. That should be enough to us for us to get on our face and say, Lord, have mercy on them. Change their hearts. Change their mind. Get the knowledge of God to them. Start praying for them. They don't deserve mercy any more than you do. Is this God speaking to you? My words, they're spirit and they are life. And you notice when Jesus came and he died and he went into that grave and then he rose again, nobody knew what he did until it was all done. You don't see the plan of redemption. You don't see all of these things in the Gospels. They became exposed in the church, in the book of Acts, and through the letters of Paul and James and John and Peter. All of those things that became a reality, the plan of redemption, the doctrine of Christ, and the principles, the six principles, repentance from dead works, faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms. You can read this in Hebrews chapter 6, 1 and 2. Baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Eternal judgment is one of the basic doctrines of Christ. We need to adhere to it. We need to know that the only way you can judge anybody is to be a total hypocrite. You know, it's getting quiet in here. Ouch. But it's true. And the reason that God tells us it's mercy in the commandment not to judge, so that you won't be judged. Say, can a Christian be judged? Well, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament said, judge yourself so you won't be judged. Hello? So God wrapped up that revelation of everything that Jesus did and put it right into the heart of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. And he said, my speech and my words didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Amen.
And he said to the Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? The power of God unto salvation to everybody who believes.
Yes.
It's the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That word salvation is a word soteria. And it is one of those all-inclusive words of the Bible of redemption, salvation. And it is used in all the applications I'm about ready to say. Healing, health, preservation, protection, soundness. It's attributed to all of those things. It is a complete word, and both in the Hebrew and in the Greek. The word salvation means all of those things. This salvation is the life of God coming into you. It's called Zoe, Z-O-E. It's translated life eternal, eternal life, or life. And it, what it is the life and nature of God. It's the substance of what makes God, God, came in you, and you are now part of his family. The same DNA in your spirit man. Does that trouble you? Does that raise any questions? It shouldn't. Any more than you were before you were born again. You had the nature of somebody else, didn't you? You had the nature of the devil. You don't have to teach a child how to lie. He knows how to lie already. Why? Because that's the language of his father. The father of lies. When we walk in the light, as he is in the light, when we walk in the light, it reveals the darkness around us. And the darkness cannot overcome it. But the thing is, we get in this polite little area of our space, and we don't want to violate somebody's space. You know what the Apostle Paul would have done with that space? He went right into the synagogues every time, not because God told him to, but because he just had such a burden for his Jewish brothers to know Jesus that he just did not believe they would ever reject him if they knew who he was. And what happened? They beat him up and threw him out. So he went to the Gentiles, but he always gave the Jews the first chance at it, every city he went. And then he went to the Gentiles. And then the Jews would get jealous when he'd start getting these big crowds. And then they'd come again on persecution. We're seeing something like that in our country now. I went on the website of Black Lives Matter the other day. And they have nothing to do with black, white, with anything. That is a communist, Marxist organization. They want to take over the entire transportation industry. They want to absorb it. Their word is to nationalize it. That's a good way of saying the government owns it now. They want to take over the entire firearms industry and the ammunition and all explosives. And by the way, when they take over the transportation industry, they take over the fuel. That's no longer your gas station. That's no longer your car dealership. It belongs to us. You didn't build that. This is what socialism does. And if we can't talk about it here, where can we talk about it? God created us in such a way that we have this sense of accomplishment when we fulfill what we are created to do. That's what the free market system does. It taps into our creativity and allows us to be everything that we are. But when churches now, and I'm talking about mainline denominations, and I'm also talking about evangelical churches who have caved into the pressure of Antifa, the pressure of Black Lives Matter. I believe that all lives matter. And if you have a racial problem with any race, you're not going to enjoy heaven at all. Get used to it. This is a training ground for getting along. Not demanding your rights. I demand my rights. Well, you start walking in love, and we'll see how much your rights matter. Because when you're walking in love, you're walking in a law that's so much higher than that, and it doesn't matter. Because God becomes your right and your cause, and his blessing comes up to meet you if you're walking in love. That good, isn't it? You still out there?
Yeah.
So what we're talking about is the light that is in you, the life that is in you, the power that is in you, and we're talking about the manifestation of the sons of God, and that includes daughters as well. Sons of God represents male, female. The manifestation of the sons of God. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Here it is again. The Spirit itself. The Spirit, every other translation says himself. So, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, I remember the day after I was born again. I was born again on July 20th, 1975. I had been an atheist since I was 16. But the night that I received the Lord, I was delivered from alcoholism, a whole bunch of stuff, garbage. The next morning, my bedroom was filled with the peace of God. It was like Jesus' hand was on me all night. And I woke up, and my brother walked in the room and said, "Wow, what's going on in here?" He was the one who led me to the Lord. And I said, "Rick, I really got saved last night." So we talked for a long while, and he left. And these sobs just came from places I didn't even know I had. Because they were never there before. I was a new creature. I was a new creation. And these sobs just came coming up. And sobs, I'm talking about sobs. And I was getting delivered and I was free. And before that, I had to get drunk to go to sleep because I was afraid I might die in my sleep. And I had this fear of death that drove me and drove me and drove me. And the peace that came into my life that day is something that I never wanted to go away. When Saul of Tarsus, when Jesus appeared to him on that road outside of Damascus, he was blinded and he went, and he didn't want that presence to ever leave him ever again. I can understand it. And so can you if you're born again and you've had that peace in your heart. And that it's a revelation that nothing can pry out of your hand. Amen. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And you know when you've been translated from one kingdom into another. And if you haven't, you have that chance now to do it. All of heaven is waiting. Angels are waiting. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, and joined heirs with Christ. Not a sub-heir, a joint heir. Equal. That means he has to co-sign. There's co-signers involved in joint accounts. Joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. This word suffer does not mean sickness. When God has given me this cross to bear, it does not mean that it is not God's will for anybody to be sick at any time.
Amen.
Any disease. It's all under the curse of the law. And it says Christ has redeemed us from it. Why would he demand that you be under something that he's already redeemed you from?
Amen.
A divided kingdom cannot stand. That would be hypocritical of him. We know that it's God's will that everybody be saved. I can give you two scriptures right now. 1 Timothy 2:4 and 2 Peter 3:9. That all, God isn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all would receive eternal life. But is everybody saved? What does that tell you? It tells you that God's will is not fully, what's the word in the not fully realized in a fallen world. That's why Jesus said, pray that my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray the Father, thy will be done. In fact, that's not even a request, that's a declaration. Is it? Is that a request?
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Is that a, it's not even a request. It's a declaration of faith. When you wake up in the morning, your will is going to be accomplished in my, this is what we pray every single morning together, that your will be done in our lives today. Right? And if children and heirs, heirs of God, glory to God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer, this has to do with persecution. You can look up the word. Persecution. You will be, the godly in Christ Jesus will always be persecuted. That's because we tick people off. The truth ticks people off. You know that? And if you're not being persecuted, maybe you're just not, you know, maybe you're going the same direction as the other guys. Better fix that. 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Get a vision of the glory that's in you. Get a vision of the glory of God that is in your spirit, that dwells there, that lives there, that is there. It's dormant maybe, but it's there. Maybe something that you haven't really touched on for a while with the Lord. Moses said, show me your glory. He wasn't born again. You are. You can handle it. You have been created to handle the indwelling of God. Verse 19, here it is. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. The Amplified says, for even the whole creation, all nature waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known, waits for the revealing and disclosing of their sonship. Now, we are the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when we see him, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. Get that vision. Get those gospels in front of your face. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Read through them until you get that image of who Jesus is. And when you see him as he is, the transformation, the renewing of your mind will be awesome. You'll begin to see things to come. You'll see how he operated, how he heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, how he walked. You'll be able to see the things that you've never seen before. Get that image built into you so that it renews your mind, and then you'll be transformed to walk like Jesus. In fact, John said that. In 1 John chapter 2. Let's just turn there because I don't have that written. First John chapter 2, verse 6. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. I rest my case. The whole world, all of nature, everybody on this planet, the planet itself, which is breaking up with earthquakes and volcanoes, hurricanes and tornadoes, the earth is out of whack ever since the fall. It inherited a curse. And the book of Hebrews, that Paul wrote, by the way, says that when Adam sinned, the utensils in heaven were polluted. That's what the blood of Jesus had to be shed here on earth. That's where the source of sin was. And then get it into heaven and cleanse those utensils and pour it out where the mercy seat speaks on your behalf, where the blood speaks on your behalf. It speaks better things than that of Abel that wanted vengeance. This blood speaks on your behalf of mercy and grace, empowerments, gifts. Aren't you glad you came today?
Yeah.
I am glad. Last series we did was Freedom Only Comes From Faith. Word of God. We talked about the process of manifestation. And that's kind of a precursor to this. We're talking about the manifestation of the Son of God, the glory that's in you. And let me just lay a few things out here first. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said to his disciples, they're in the upper room, and he said, "He who believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I'm going to my Father." Now we have an advocate with the Father. Now we have a high priest who is, by the way, in Hebrews chapter 3, it says he's the high priest, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Our confession of what? Faith. You know, the Bible, it never ceases to amaze me how much the devil concentrates on the negativity of everything. Whenever we hear the word confession, we always think of sin. And there's one denomination that that's all they do. And as a result, that's all they have. Because Jesus said you can have what you say. And if you're always declaring your sin, if you're always confessing your sin, you're always going to have trouble with sin. But Jesus is the apostle, it's an apostle, a sent one. And the high priest, a mediator of our confession of faith. Who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, what we can do through Christ, and where we are in Christ. These are things that we need to be confessing. What did it say? Today we had that, I am a child of God. There's a lot of things we've talked about today. Sing a little louder. When the negative thoughts come, sing a little louder. Yeah. I've been freed from fear. I'm no longer a slave to it. Amen. I have the peace of God and the power of God. I have the peace of God living in me to calm storms. The manifestation of the sons of God is that I will calm this storm. Amen. It has no place in me. I am a child of God. Amen. He vindicates. That's when Jesus comes and says, Father, do it. Dispel this. And he stands there advocating for you. He's the Lord Advocate General of the church. And he is the name above every name. Cancer. If you have cancer, he's above that name. You have arthritis, he's above that name. If you have blindness, he's above that name. If you have emotional turmoil, he's above that. He's above it all. He reconciles it all, and he brings it all, and he releases his power in your life so that you're not walking in confusion or questions or anything like that anymore. He clears it up and says, you were healed. Yes. He doesn't say you are. He says you were healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's where he starts. He doesn't call you the sick trying to get better. He calls you the healed.
Right. Yeah.
Jesus just walked in.
Wow!
And just don't say, praise God. Yeah, that's good. No, praise God. Amen. This is not just philosophy. This is spiritual law. This is truth.
Yes.
This is truth that will make you free. This is the word of God that came from his throne through Jesus to you. It doesn't go from God to church to you, this L-shaped thing, where we're the only ones who can know. No, why did he give you the Bible if he doesn't expect you to understand it? Why would he go through all of that and say, here's my word? He said, oh, I can't understand that. You can't understand the Bible. I need to know. What? If Peter can understand it, you can understand it. If I can get this, a drugged out old rock and roller from New Haven, Connecticut, if I can get this, you can get it. This is for everybody.
Yes.
In fact, the Apostle Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus, and he was bad. He loved to arrest Christians and bring them to trial and have them executed. He tried to get them to blaspheme and deny Jesus. He loved doing that. I mean, this guy was just so demonized. And but one thing he had working for him, he had a zeal for the Word of God. He knew the first 5 books of the Bible memorized. He was in the Pharisaical school under Gamaliel. And Gamaliel was considered one of the wisest men. In fact, that's reiterated in the book of Acts. But he sat at the feet of Gamaliel learning all of these things, putting them into practice. And all it did with him was create a lot of anger and hatred out of anybody that disagreed with him. Anybody that didn't see things his way, he hated. And that's what the law does. The law works wrath, the Bible says. Paul got that revelation too, among many others, is that the purpose of the law was to lead us to Jesus. It wasn't to give us something to live up to. No, he already put the law down here and put us above it in his mercy seat, far above the Ark of the Covenant where the law was. He put a seal on that and raised us up above it in Christ. I can't get into everything I wanted to get into here. Let me see what else we got. Oh, I'll go into the story next week. How's that? Gosh, there's so much in my heart here. Let's just do this. Let's go over a few things here and then I'll close. Number one, practice the presence of God. When you have that fellowship with God, that presence of God, practice his presence. Matthew 28:20, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you all the time. In fact, the Amplified puts it this way, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. I can go to church on that, can't you? Number one, practice the presence of God. Be a doer of the word is number two. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Why? Because you won't be deceived that way. It'll lock deception out of your life. Just be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. You know, the devil doesn't even have to wait to deceive you. If you're not doing the word, you'll deceive yourself. Right. The ability for a believer to self-deceive is pretty uncanny. The presence of God is in those who do the word of God. Number three is be open and honest with God about your faults, your flaws, your sin. You can't hide anything from anyone. Everything is naked and open to him with whom we have to do, the Bible says. Be honest with him. I can't say too much about being honest with him. Be honest. You know, there's a lot of people who have deceived themselves to such an extent that when they do get out of this body, they're going to see that they're not such a big shot they thought they were. Guys like George Soros are going to be extremely shocked. Evildoers and all the people we talked about, the things that they're following after, they don't fulfill. It's up to the church to rise up and give them something better than they have so that they will be fulfilled in the message and what we have to give them. Because what we have to give them is life, hope, and the acceptance of a Savior who loves them. Be open and honest with God. If we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. One way we can get free from judging others, and I'll tell you what, when you stop being a judge and start being a Savior, God will show you things that you would just knock you over. He'll start sharing things with you, intimate things with you. But one way you can stop judging is when you see a fault in another person, turn it around and say, Lord, forgive me of that. Yeah. The only reason you saw it is because you're guilty of the same thing. Takes one to know one, you know, the type of thing. But that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Be honest with God. And the last is to decide to believe that the Word of God is your first and final authority. It'll guide you. Don't try to fix up your life before you start doing what the Word of God says to do, because you'll just end up in a worse mess. You know, it's hard enough when things, like marriage, if you start off absolutely perfect, marriage is still a lot of work, and it's hard. When things are unequal, it's a mess waiting to happen. Let God do this thing. Put God as your first and final authority. And you'll see that there are covenant promises concerning everything. Don't try to do it yourself. Get your life straightened out and then do the Word. No, do the Word first, and then God comes responsible for the result.
Right.
It's His Word. And when you do His Word, He's responsible for the results. And you know what His results are? Blessing. Power. Strength. Joy. Peace. Love. Fellowship. All kinds of good things.